Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to episode 7 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is Aaron. I'm filling in for the Meat Beast, who's on assignment in Bemidji. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And filling in for our missing host is our producer, Mr. Jive Midnight.
Hello there.
Well, it's been a couple weeks since we had a podcast. I know Kenny and I had birthdays. I was out of town on business.
Happy birthday, boys.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just the other night, during the Calgary game, me and Kenny had a nice wine dinner with my wife, and it was pretty awesome.
Sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, you know, lots of wine, some beer, and a stuff load of food.
Nice save. So there's been a lot of news in the Wild front, so do we want to jump right into it?
Yeah, big thing, Charlie Coyle getting called up a couple of games ago.
Yeah, it was, probably about a week ago this time.
Yeah, you know, we're a little out of it right now, just time lapse. But Wild wanted to add some size to their line. So I know his first game he was playing on the second line. With, I believe, that would have been PMB on the second line.
And Setoguchi, I think.
And Setoguchi. And then game after that got bumped up to the first line to play with Parisi and Koivu.
With Heatley getting pushed down to the second line. I mean, I know with Coyle, they wanted someone who could actually battle at the boards, which is something they've been struggling with this year really bad. I mean, behind the net, they're just getting out, you know, just hammered. And the thought was Coyle was going to be a bit of an improvement, or at least provide some protection.
Provide some size on the first line. I mean, I know Konopka said that he wanted to be up there to provide some protection, but he's obviously not a first-line guy.
Right.
He can only do so much at that point.
And Coyle has the potential to be a scorer, whereas Konopka, he's never going to be a scorer. I mean, he's a grinder, you know?
He is a grinder, and Coyle had some definite good looks and some good chances his first couple of games up.
Yeah, no, he definitely had some chances.
I know,
where he could have done something, but
there is a few comments being made about how a lot of guys were jealous his second game playing on the top line with the Wild, but, you know, it's...
Well, and actually, it really makes sense, you know, as far as him going to the first line and, you know, breaking up that first line, because the first line was scoring.
They were.
And
they were in a bit of a drought when they brought him up.
True. But, I mean, if you look at any of the lines, they've outscored the rest of the lines combined.
Oh, they've outshot the rest of the lines combined, too.
True. But, you know, you can't have all that scoring on your first line. Otherwise, you know, you might as well just sit back if you're a defenseman looking at those other lines. So you need to try to spread out the scoring, because if you're not a threat on your third and fourth line, you're going to be in trouble. And that's what the Wild have been, you know.
And I know we've got some other news to talk about that third and fourth line, but yeah, Coyle. I think if he stays up, I know at that point Yo is trying to definitely make some noise in his lines by moving some guys around.
Yeah, he hasn't been afraid as part of that move. I mean, it had some trickle down effect. You know, Granlund and PMB have been struggling, them and Cullen. They've all been mix and matching between the second to third to fourth lines.
You know, and this is usually stuff that you'd normally do 15 to 20 games into the season. You don't have that luxury with a season that's half the length. You got to start making the moves, you know, 8-10 games in.
So that's a good question. I mean, should you be shuffling the line so much, or should we let these guys actually get used to each other? I mean, how long of a preseason did they have?
I mean, zero.
There was none. I mean, they had a week, even a week of training camp.
Right.
But, you know, you could also make the argument that there's too many left-handed shooters on the top line.
Well, the top line power play unit is all lefties, or it was at the beginning of the season. That's kind of shuffled around a little bit now.
And he's been playing around with the defensive pairings. But really, you don't have time to let them gel, because if you let them gel and they start gelling 20 games in, that's half the season.
Right.
So, what do you do?
And you know what? We're not the only team that only had a week of training camp. You know, granted,
right.
We did get some big names, and it definitely jumbled up our top players that should be learning to gel together a lot faster. But if it's not, I say go for it.
Well, you can
move them around until you get some chemistry going on.
You can make the argument the top line hasn't had no problem gelling. It's been the other three lines that have problems gelling. There's been flashes. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just dumb luck. I mean, Setoguchi had has had so many good opportunities at goals, and he's been clanging off the pipes, or the goalie's been making brilliant saves. And it's like, who knows? Maybe it's just a lot of bad luck for those bottom three lines.
It's been happening a lot with a lot of the guys the past few games, though, where I mean, they're literally 5 feet out from the net with a wide open shot, and they're hitting the pipe. They're ringing it off the pipe. They're just whiffing on it altogether, completely right. missing. You know, it's been some ugly games. Speaking of size, though.
The Wild make a big trade. Well, no pun intended, swear to God. But they trade Darryl Powell and Nick Palmieri, who was playing down in Houston, to New York for Mike Rupp. Rupp adds size, much like Coyle. They needed size or someone who could play a little more physical game. And it's basically a swap with Powell, a little bit of an upgrade from Powell. Palmieri, he just got done with a contract dispute with the Wild. So he probably had really no future with the Wild anyway. But Rupp does bring more physical presence than Powell had. And he's not an offensive guy, though. So he's going to be a third or fourth line guy. And that's all you can really expect from him. It's a marginal upgrade, but you are getting bigger, and that was something that the Wild needed to do. You also get the advantage of, by trading 2-for-1, the Wild were at the contract maximum of 50 contracts, brings them down to 49. So they have room to pick up someone, you know, on a whim.
Opens it up for at least one more player if somebody should come of interest or become available.
Or if we want to do a 2-for-1 going the other way.
Exactly. You know.
So it does open us up. I'm not opposed to it. I haven't been very pleased with Powell. I mean, I see hits from him every once in a while, but offensively he doesn't add much. And
Palmieri, I mean, did we even see much of him this year?
We haven't seen him at all this year. Yeah. I think we saw him briefly last year.
I think we might have seen him down in or playing with Houston.
Right, the couple Houston games we went to. But
I don't think he even produced much on those either.
No, he was never going to be a forward with the Wild, so it makes sense to shed his contract while we can, while we need to. And
I think it'll help us with our size factor. So,
all right, that's it. Well, let's move on to our second goaltender, Mr. Josh Harding. He's decided to kind of step back and take a little break here. He made the decision himself. He's been feeling a little off, he says. And, it's due to, with his conditions with MS, from what I understand, it takes, there's no set right way to treat it. And it's always kind of a game almost of how you treat it with what kind of medications and stuff like that.
Well, so. And I know the doctors he's been working with, they're trying to take a more aggressive stance at it. And I'm sure that the cocktail of medication that they're giving him right now, they don't exactly know how it's going to play out.
They don't know how it's going to affect him. And, like any drugs that you get for anyone, not even just MS, drugs affect people differently.
Absolutely.
Do not operate heavy machinery.
And he's being asked to perform at the highest professional level.
Right.
And you don't know how those drugs are going to interact, and affect his play.
Well, everybody is obviously aware of his condition now, and the fact that when he is feeling off, that he is going to management and saying, hey, I can't be playing right now.
But that's actually commendable.
Very commendable.
You see that so often in sports where players will hide injuries, and it never benefits the team. They're worried about losing their spot rather than costing the team a win, and it's to the detriment. You have to give them a billion kudos for saying, hey, I know I'm not 100%. I'm a little off. I need some time off because I'm not going to help the team, and I don't want to be a detracting force,
Although not always. Hate to get off the sport, but if you go go to football, I guess, Adrian Peterson for the Minnesota Vikings, he just had surgery done because he had some sort of an abdominal injury that
It was a sports hernia.
Yeah. And so basically he played the last almost half of the season with this injury, and he still rattled off basically a record year.
Well, you'll see guys playing with full-on injuries that still perform, but when you have something that's going to be messing with your vision and your muscle movement like that,
I look at it as very similar to like a major league pitcher who's hiding that his arm is sore.
Right.
You know, that's your tool.
Yep.
And if you're how you could, you know, think you're going to fool anyone by saying your tool's, you know, perfect, you know, Harding, I mean, MS will affect your eyes, will affect your reaction time.
Yeah, and then
that's his tools. I mean, as a goalie, right, your eyes and your reaction time, that's what you do.
And if he's seeing spots, which is, I think, is how he originally right. went in to find out or to get diagnosed, was he was seeing black spots. You're playing against a black puck coming at you, and if you're seeing black spots, that's not a good thing, because, I mean,
right.
it's not like Rocky IV where he's fighting the Russian? I'm seeing three of them, we'll hit the one in the middle. It doesn't work that way with hockey.
No.
Not with MS, you know, when you're seeing spots all over the place. Which one in the middle? There's six of them, or whatever.
Right. His rods and cones were not operating yet.
So I nothing but respect for that guy. I mean, the fact that he came out with it right away. And he's been working with management and operations to
just the fact that he's being open is it's commendable, and more athletes that are injured and are costing a team should follow his lead, because that is
absolutely,
you know, yeah,
definitely. And so with that said, the Wild have to fill the spot up with Darcy Kemper. They're going to bring him up, and he was the 2011 Canadian Hockey League Goalie of the Year, and also the Western Hockey League Player of the Year. So, I mean, he's
been kicking butt in the AHL right now. Yeah. I mean, I think his goals against average was like 1.97 or something.
Yeah, he's been doing amazing.
I mean, people are saying, well, why aren't you calling up Matt Hackett? Because, you know, we had Hackett up last year. I think Kemper got called up, but he never played. If I remember correctly.
That could be possible.
But Hackett had a few games last year, and people are like, well, this is a slap in the face to Hackett. But, you know, Kemper had a goal against average, a goal less than Hackett in the AHL. So it's, how do you not reward that?
Well, exactly. And, I mean, his play's been there. He put up some good numbers against Vancouver the other night.
Yeah, last night, I mean, he did a good job. He only gave up a pair
two
of goals.
One was a breakaway.
One was a breakaway. I think he got a little deked out, you know, on that breakaway, but he played really well, I felt, for a guy in his debut game.
He likes to play the puck.
Yeah.
Definitely. And there was some close calls where I know the
he's going behind the net. And also falling on the puck.
Falling on the puck behind the net that he's right. lucky he didn't get called on, as well as almost losing the puck into the goalie no-play zone.
Right.
Rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, but he looked pretty solid for a rookie.
He's a big guy, too.
He has like 6'5".
Something like that. Yeah. And all butterfly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I mean, if he had some scoring support, he might have actually done a little better.
I think so.
But how do you argue with two goals against? I mean, that's
for his NHL debut?
If you're a goalie and you got a two goals against average, that's pretty dang good.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean...
All right, so going into our hits and misses, I guess, Cassian has been put on waivers as of a couple of days ago now, I think yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday on Tuesday.
Basically, all these moves are Harding and Kemper and Cassian and some other moves all within yesterday.
Well, speaking of those other moves.
Scandella was sent down because he had to be sent down to make room for Kemper. Cassian, I believe...
I thought he had to get moved down for Spurgeon.
I think Cassian was moved for Spurgeon.
Well, Cassian was placed on waivers. Cassian wasn't moved.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You're still freeing up a spot on the big league team. So, you know, with Cassian, Scandella wanted to make sense. They had him scratched as a healthy scratch a few times. And it's like, he's a young kid still. Why not send him down to Houston? Let him play.
Right.
And he doesn't cost the team anything because he's got a two-way contract, so it's not a big loss, and it allows him to keep playing and getting better.
He's going to get more playing time there.
Yeah.
Let him develop. I mean, with those moves, you know, you had PMB as a healthy scratch.
Well, I think the weirder thing is about Cassian being put on waivers. He's got a one-way contract, so in order for him to be sent back down to Houston – he needs to clear waivers. I don't know how much of a demand there is for a Matt Cassian type player. I mean, he's an enforcer. He's not a
team that needs some muscle will pick him up. You know, kind of like when we got rid of John Scott.
Right. But how many teams need not to be down on Cassian, but he's not exactly a proven NHL commodity, you know?
No, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that he's got a one-way contract right now because
That's probably the more surprising thing is that he's got a one-way contract.
But I mean, he'd be better off with a two-way contract where he could bounce back and forth and at least get some playing time down in Houston.
But I'm sure once he saw the offer, he's probably angling for a one-way contract.
I'm sure.
And the Wild gave it to him. I'm pretty sure they gave it to him prior to the Parisi and Suter contract signings. So they had one ways to spare, basically,
right
at the time. And we really didn't have, I think it was also pre-Zenon Konopka. So the Wild really had no guy scrapping out.
Because it would have been Zenon Konopka and Torrey Mitchell at both at the, like, right before Parisi and Suter. I mean, I think, maybe a week before that?
Right. And so, I mean, or a week after, because I remember Konopka talking about sitting at...
sitting with a newspaper. Those guys could read a newspaper in the center of the ice and not have to worry about getting touched.
Right, because, you know, Konopka's going to be, the scrappy guy that
That's
he is.
Right.
So, really, and you look at the Wild roster right now, there's no room for Cassian. I think
it's unfortunate, because I really like Cassian.
I think the Wild are doing it as a favor to Cassian, saying, hey, we realize you've got talent. We realize that right now you don't really have a place with us. We'll put you through waivers, give you a chance to get with a team. If not, we're going to send you to Houston, and hopefully one day you'll have a space with us if you don't get picked up.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you've got Konopka. Like you said, we do have Konopka, who likes to scrap. I wouldn't call him an enforcer, grinder. I don't really see him winning his fights. I see a lot of his fights coming as a draw, and he's definitely putting the same amount of hurt on that's coming to him.
Right.
But... you know, also picking up Mike Rupp, who's more of a veteran, has more experience than Cassian. You know,
You add Rupp, you add Konopka, you've got Mitchell already. Cassian, I mean, we don't really need a true enforcer.
Right.
You know, we have guys that will, I mean, if Konopka goes up against John Scott, Konopka's going to get his bell rung.
Oh, absolutely.
But at that same point, we have a guy. We have a couple guys that at least will take the challenge, or possibly, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of brings me back to the day of when we had Bugar, John Scott, and Todd Fedoric all in the same lineup. It's like, that's just insane. Like, come on. I mean, that's like almost Broad Street Bully stuff going on right now. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got the. Some more news in the ups and downs and healthy scratches. PMB and Granlin. Granlin's been getting moved around a little bit.
And so has PMB. They both bounced from second to third to fourth line. And both within the last two, three games, both have been healthy scratches. I don't know that it's anything negative. It's just, you know, giving them a break.
I mean, this season is so, so tightened up. I mean, they're playing almost every night, basically. Right. And you got to give your guys some rest at some point. So.
Especially guys that are struggling to perform. I mean,
definitely.
Yeah, Granlin had some really big shoes to fill right at the beginning of the season. I'm happy he got his first goal, his first game, going back a few weeks. But
right,
you know, all of a sudden you're expected to be the number two center and be able to fill in for that number one center when it's literally you're in your first NHL season.
Right. And part of them moving him around on lines was even getting him out of center, putting him on the wing.
Yeah, well, yeah, because him and Setoguchi got moved from the second line down to the fourth with Konopka centering him.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of he's only 20 years old. He's not an old guy at all. So he's still figuring himself out. I think after he had the scratch, he came back and he was much more. His physical games felt stepped up. I mean, it felt like he was battling at the boards a little bit better.
He was kind of getting beat around on that second line. I mean, guys are taking extra advantage of him in the corners, like pushing him around a little bit more. the refs weren't really calling much of it. I mean, maybe just being a little biased because he is a Minnesota kid or Minnesota player. It seemed like the players were definitely like, hey, rookie, what's up?
Right.
And like ramming him into the boards a little bit more. I kind of wish they would have maybe moved him down to the third, move Konopka up to the second or up to the third line with him, because I think Konopka, I think, would have done a little bit more of keeping those guys off of him if he would have seen it.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have at least been John and running his mouth.
But then, I mean, should he be taking a rookie? I mean, he's already just trying to get used to the league, just learning the ropes here. And you're even taking him out of his element as a center and throwing him on the wing. I mean, it's...
Right. I mean,
well, I think the reason that they put him on a wing instead of center was because his two-way play wasn't holding up to standards of what an NHL centerman should be.
Well, that, and if you look at a lot of the games where he's, you know, been in the circle, he gets tossed out a lot.
Him and Koivu have been getting tossed out left and right. It's ridiculous.
I've gotten tired of seeing Parisi or Heatley in the face-off circle. It's unbelievable, really.
You know, and at least putting him on a wing with that, where you've got a really good face-off guy, if Konopka gets tossed out, you got a backup center.
Very true.
Yeah, no, this is true. I still think things will be... the advantage of moving him down is that he's not going to be... For the teams that want to match line for line,
he's not going to be facing as tough of opponents.
Right.
Help him develop a little bit more.
And we've seen him, you know, how he's done against the juniors, and, you know, when he's doing the lacrosse goals and stuff like that. He can be magical. And you see it every once in a while when he gets a breakaway, or you see his puck handling ability.
Absolutely.
You know, you see glimpses of it. It's just he hasn't put it all together yet at the NHL level.
I'm pretty sure he had more points than all of Team Germany in the juniors this year.
Last year?
Well, 2012, I guess.
Well, no. Well, 2012, 2013?
Yeah.
No, he didn't play.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. He's Granlund? 20. It's under 20. He's 20.
I'm pretty sure he was playing for Finland.
No, he's too old. By a year.
We're going to have to fact check that one and move on.
Sounds good.
Andrew Burnett is back for his third stint with the Minnesota Wild, this time up in operations. He retired after 16 years in the league, and he is now, he will be assisting Chuck Fletcher in all aspects of the team's hockey operations, including scouting, free agent signings, and helping with the evaluation and development of prospects at all levels. So... it's nice to have him back. I know he did very well for the Wild when he was here.
I agree. I found him as a great team player. But, you
know. He is, and he's overall a great, just general leader, good person to have on the ice, and hopefully he can take that off the ice as well.
Right. Well, I know when you originally told me that, I was like, do the Wild need another forward that's kind of older?
No, yeah. He's going to be in the office this time. So we'll see. You know, it's got to be tough going from player, especially guy who's played, you know, over 1,100 games in his career, you know, where he's used to be being on the ice and not overlooking the ice.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully good things happen. At least he's still with an organization that he loves.
Hey, he'll still be around the rink, and I think that matters more than anything.
Absolutely. Know? All right. Shall we get into the games?
Yeah, so... Nice. So, we'll just kind of do a quick rundown of the Wild games this past 2 weeks. It's going back a ways, we understand, but, you know, we didn't have a show last week, so we got to talk about the games we saw, right?
Exactly.
So, 2 weeks ago this evening, we had the game on while we were doing the podcast.
Yeah, you might have heard a little bit of it then.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a Wild win over Chicago in the shootout. It was actually a really up-and-down game because Harding was pulled very early in that game.
4 minutes in or something like that, four and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Really early.
And his frustration heading off the ice, I mean... The camera shot and you could see him and he's slamming his stick against the wall, and you got to kind of feel for the guy though, you know, he's trying to do his best but he just can't, you know.
And what was even more surprising though was how quick Yo's hook was. He gave up 2 goals in 4 minutes, which is not good, but it was only 2 goals.
And so now, though, with Harding taking a step back, maybe he had...
Maybe Harding had pulled himself, and he was more pissed off about what was going on. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to say. It was 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a possibility.
Maybe he had already spoken with the coach and was like, you know, I'm going to give it my best, and, you know, if it's not happening, it's not happening.
I mean, yeah, there was some stuff we didn't see that the cameras obviously had missed or didn't get broadcast. So, I mean, it's quite possible that he was the one saying, no, I got to go. But I don't know.
I don't think anyone will. And then Backstrom comes in and doesn't give up a single goal.
During play.
Yeah, during regulation and overtime.
Yeah.
And then we go to a shootout, and then the Wild win it. I mean.
Yeah, with that, it was, I think, 2-1 in the shootout, I believe. Pulling it up right here.
I believe that's right.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, Parise got a goal, and Parise and Colin both got goals for the Wild. Taze was the only goal scorer for Chicago in the shootout.
We were all talking, you know, during the shootout. We're like, can Harding come back for the shootout?
You know, I have not had much faith in Backstrom in the shootouts.
He's looked good this year, though, in the shootouts. I mean,
gotta say he has performed well.
Yeah, you know,
even the other night in Calgary, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's held his own surprisingly.
Calgary's not that great or known for being very good on the.
But Chicago's a different story. Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
You got Patrick Kane. I mean, he's got that. It was last year, I think, you did that sick dangle, you know, back forth, and, you know, where Backstrom could have just poked it away, and he got scored on last year.
Yeah, you have Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, and Patrick Sharp that were up for Chicago. That's not a lineup to laugh at, man.
No.
And Toews was the only one to get a goal. Patrick Kane, Backstrom saved, and Patrick Sharp just completely missed.
Yeah.
So...
Well, that's kind of what a veteran brings to the table too, you know. I mean, he learns from his mistakes, hopefully.
And I think he's been bad on the shootouts the last couple of years, but before that, he was at least average. I mean, yeah.
But yeah, that would Wild gave Chicago their first loss of the season.
Yeah.
And Chicago was sitting at what, like 7-0 right at that point, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
it's gotta feel good.
You know, granted, they still got a point out of it, and as far as I know right now, I don't think they have any regulation loss yet. I'd have to double-check that, too, but I know Chicago and I think San Jose or Anaheim.
San Jose was the other one that was unbeaten for
quite a time. Yeah, those guys are just kind of rocking right now.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when you got the veteran players like both those teams have that did play with each other last year, you do still have that chemistry between them. They still know how to play with each other. It does help rather than, you know, like the Wild right now, they're still trying to gel. Yeah.
And you would be absolutely correct. Chicago has 10 wins, no losses, and they've gone to overtime 3 times.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. So they've had three
overtime losses. Is three overtime losses?
10-0-3?
I believe so, yes. Yep.
Wow.
Hey, if I were Chicago, I'd take that. I'd take that to the bank.
I'm glad I picked up Crawford for our fantasy team, even though it doesn't really count.
Oh, yeah, our fantasy team.
What's fantasy? I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's going to have an asterisk next to it. All right, so that was Chicago. After that, a couple of days after that, was Anaheim. So you had Koivu-Koivu.
Yes, the Koivu-Koivu game. But really, the story wasn't Koivu-Koivu. It was all Solani.
Yeah, 3 assists. Assists on all 3 goals.
Yeah, he was feeding them, and they were taking them. It was another Wild loss.
You know, and it was a game where the Wild scored first, which is very disappointing to see.
Right.
I believe that they were the only ones to have a goal in the first period. Let's see. Yeah, the Wild, about halfway through the first, Scandella scored. After that, it took about almost 7 minutes into the second before Anaheim scored, but it was all downhill from there. It was bad. And yeah, Solani assists on all 3 goals. It not looking good in Anaheim.
Yeah, well, and one of the Anaheim goals was a power play goal, so it's tough to put a lot of the blame on Backstrom on that when you're only scoring one goal, you know?
It is.
Yeah, you got to have some support.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why they brought, you know, Parisi in here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need some of that offensive firepower, really.
In the Wild over the last week and a half have really slowed down in that regards. Yep. 3 days later, they played in Phoenix, and it was another loss, 1-2. It was misplays and rebounds is really the theme of the season, the short season.
How many times did Mike Smith go behind the goal, make a pass up to a Wild player, and we couldn't turn around and get a goal on it? I think at least two or three times that game.
Well, that and we had Clutterbuck, who tried to clear the puck and made a terrible attempt, intercepted by Yandel. Yandel shot it through traffic. It was tipped in. And then a huge rebound given up by Backstrom. And I don't know what it is about the season. He's given up huge rebounds, and then when he does, he's leaving the back door wide open.
And that's got to be my main complaint about Backstrom this season.
Yeah, he used to suck that puck up.
His first shots are always being sent right back out for somebody else to take another one.
Right. So. It's been really quite terrible, yeah. And I'm sure as we go down this game list here, we're going to have more instances where it's another rebound and it's another wide open back door and it's another goal.
I mean, you're absolutely right about that, though. The rebounds that he's given up are huge, and they are going out to the back door, and there's no defense there.
And it's not even at the back door because he's already outside of the crease on top of it to cut off angles.
Exactly.
So it's like
that I've been seeing that a lot with the defense though as well. Like
our defense isn't muscling guys out of spots.
No, not at all.
You know, and there's definitely blame to be assigned to the defense, but Backstrom isn't making it easy for them either.
I even saw on the Wild on the Wild homepage, they were looking for the Wild plays of the week, and one of them was Backstrom, and he does. He makes a ridiculous save coming back across the crease, bats the puck down with his
with his
glove, and it was an awesome save. But he set himself up for that.
He's the one who left the back door huge rebound, and he left the back door wide open. So it's like, yeah, he made a great play. I know exactly the play you're talking about because it looked good.
Yes,
but he's the one who made that play possible by him misplaying right before that.
Yep.
I think he needs to swap out the batting in his pads or something. I mean, yeah, it's something that's going to suck the puck up and not shoot it halfway across the rink.
Yeah, I heard he changed his pads over to the material they make Super Balls out of.
Well, it's kind of looking that way.
That was kind of a mistake, I think.
Well, you know, if they just shoot it and it bounces all the way down to the other side of the ice, I don't have to worry about sucking them all up.
Well, and just to go back to what you're saying about Mike Smith, the one goal that the Wild had was Parisi, and it was a super quick shot by Parisi, and all night Smith had been stopping those.
Oh.
So how that one even got through is mind-boggling.
Parisi basically thread the needle on that one.
Thread the needle, and it was a really quick shot. So, I mean, it could have very easily ended up being a two-zip game.
Mike Smith was just on. Well, the Wild can't seem to get past any of these goalies this year at all. Like, all the games have been super low scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that they've had any games that have had more than a combined point total of 8 or 7.
Well, if you look at, you know, last 2 weeks of games, the Wild haven't scored more than 2 points, had more than 2 goals if you don't include the shootouts.
I would consider that a scoring drought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been bad.
All right. How about Vancouver on the 7th, Aaron's birthday?
Yeah, another great game.
Happy birthday to you.
Konopka got into it a few times this game.
Yeah, with Wiest both times. The first fight was early in the first period, and then another time in the third period, the second time in the third period. gives him an instigation, and he gets ejected as he's chirping at the refs.
Which, you know, he got a 2, a 5, and a 10 for it. He got the 2 minute for the instigator, which was served by
Setoguchi,
I believe. But then, okay, so then he would have his 5 minute for fighting, and then a 10 minute game misconduct, but there was still 17 minutes and 40 seconds left in the game. So why he went down the hall, I don't understand. Because
he got ejected.
He should have only been given 15, though.
Oh, he was chirping, so they ejected him on top of that.
I don't think he was chirping at the refs because...
Oh, yes, he was.
Well, there was some other stuff happening with that, too, which we'll get into with the next Vancouver game. But he basically had threatened Vancouver since none of their guys wanted to go with him, and they were getting chippy with our guys, that if they weren't going to go with him, he was going to start taking out their star players.
Yeah, I mean, well, not that Weiss is a star player, but...
No.
But, you know...
Which you did see more of that the second time around with Vancouver, because there was definitely still a chippy game, and he was still running his mouth.
Yeah.
Which I think you're going to start seeing a lot of that with teams where we're playing twice within, you know, within a week's time frame. You're going to be seeing that with not just Vancouver, not just your division rivals, but your conference rivals as well that we're playing so many times and so close together.
Yeah, and you know what happens when you see each other a lot, you know? It's kind of like with me and my wife, you know? I'm kidding, but yeah.
Someone's in the doghouse.
Yeah, I mean, it is almost like playoff hockey right now, all season long. You're seeing these teams so close together, and you're playing so much and so often.
It's all inter-conference. You're not playing anyone from the East, so and you're playing even teams outside of your division. You're playing them a lot.
Yeah, you are.
That said, I mean, how do you think these playoffs are going to shake down? These teams aren't going to have seen these teams at all, ever.
Well, for the Stanley Cup, they won't.
That final's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But the playoffs.
The playoffs are going to be, those are going to be hard fought, and they're going to be.
It's going to be bloody and chippy.
Yeah.
I think you'll start to see some enforcers in the dressed for the playoffs this year. Just because I think it's going to get chippy.
So you're calling this the short, deadly season?
Sure.
I'll go with it. So this game, it was another wild loss, 4-1, Vancouver. Vancouver scored the first four goals. Again, you had a big rebound by Backstrom with a backdoor goal. You had a deflection on a power play, just as a power play expired. You had misplay by Stoner, putting the puck right back in Raymond's hands. And again, a backdoor opened by Backstrom. And then you had a breakaway that Backstrom really had no chance on. Wild get a goal in garbage time, but, you know, that really doesn't do anything for us. So it's another loss. And then with that, on the 9th, we played Nashville. It was another meetup of Suter and his former team.
Is this 2 or 3 now?
This is number 2. They got a third game later on that will actually be in Nashville later on in the season. And this one is actually a wild win, luckily. they didn't score first, which is surprising that they were able to win regardless. But again, rebound given up by Backstrom and punched in by Gustad.
And it doesn't have to look pretty. You can, you know, play ugly hockey. What matters at the end of the day is... If you got some points in the W column.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, and that's all that's going to matter 45 games in.
And the nice thing about this game, you had a Suter who basically lit off a shot from the blue line, and Clutterbuck tipped it in, and then you had a power play goal by Setoguchi, one-timer fed by Koivu. That was the game winner.
Was that OT?
Yep, that was in overtime. It's nice because that was Setoguchi's first goal of the season. So,
short and sweet. Yeah. So then we had Calgary on the 11th, which would have been
Monday,
the first of back to backs.
Yep.
Well, of this series, I think it was the Wild's
third or fourth
back to back series already. This time, you know, up in Canada, first game at Calgary, Wild ended up getting the win out of that, going into shootout. But, Brodziak, with nice deke off a Setoguchi pass in the second period. First period, pretty mellow. Nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Going into the third, Wild were up 1-0, and Calgary, Huddler gets a goal on a 2-on-1 rush. You know, straight shot given up by Backstrom,
but he didn't know if they're gonna cross over or not. So it's
2-on-1. I didn't see it. I didn't see the play myself, so I don't know. But
it's tough to fault Backstrom on that one. I mean, it's 2-on-1. You don't know if it's coming at you or from what side. And I don't think Backstrom has ever been a very good side to side goalie, which is kind of the reason he suffers in the shootouts.
Well, exactly.
But you know, so.
And going into the shootout, Baxter makes 2 stops, and then Koivu and Parisi both scoring. So I believe that's Parisi's second shootout goal now.
He's got a really good shootout record, though. I mean, he's I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was like 68% in in shootouts.
That's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah. So I mean, that's I think one thing that the Wild have always suffered is we never have had very good shootout players.
You know? Well, Gabrick when we had him.
Yeah, and PMB has
his moments,
but they're I don't think they're 68% consistency though.
I believe Rolston actually had a fairly high number.
Really?
But Rolston also would go up to the top of the circle and take a 120-mile-an-hour slap shot that the goalies weren't prepared for.
That's not very consistent or repeatable though. That's the problem.
He did it often enough, but yeah,
it wasn't often enough to. Really weren't at.
So that said, have you guys heard the rumors about possibly getting rid of the shootout and instead of going down to like a 3-on-3 situation then and opening it up more?
I've heard people suggest that in the past.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the suggestions. So like 4-on-4 for 5 minutes and then 3-on-3 for 5 minutes.
And I'm not opposed to that. But I think initially, I didn't really care for the shootout because it seemed like ending a baseball game with a home run derby.
Right.
You know, but, you know, really the shootout is really just a version of the penalty shot, which is a valid part of the game. So for me, I don't really have that. When I think of it from an intellectual level, I don't have a problem with that on a game. Especially, I'd rather have a shootout than have a tie.
It is, but hockey is a team sport, and
it is.
You're basically taking the whole team out of it when you.
I'm actually more offended that when he goes to overtime or a shootout, it's a 3-point game, whereas if it's in regulation, it's a 2-point game.
Yeah, I wish they would change that system around. I would be more apt for a true 3-point game.
So the win in regulation is 3 points. A win in overtime
is
2.
Or shootout is two, and then the losing team gets 1.
Right, because that way you have 3 points for every game.
Even distribution.
Yeah.
That's how it is in the Olympics.
Because right now teams are going to play to get to overtime.
To get that point. Yeah, literally, because it's playoff hockey all year long.
Yeah.
And every point matters. And I mean, but yeah, really, I mean, they need to change that up, obviously, because anybody can see that there's not an even distribution, and then you end up with these teams that somebody might have more wins, but you're still behind somebody, or you know,
it doesn't make any sense.
Or tied with somebody who's gone to overtime 10 times, you know. I mean, it's
which I think is where you and Aaron and you and I agree on with a true 3-point system.
Well, I'm not going to say that anyone in any sort of official capacity has ever suggested this, but one suggestion I've seen is go to a 5-point system. So a win in regulation is 5 points. A win in the losing team gets 0. A win in overtime is 4 points. Losing team gets 1 point. And a win in a shootout is 3 points. Losing team gets 2 points.
You could even knock that down to a 4-point system at that rate.
No, you'd be really hard to because that shootout would basically be you'd have to. I mean, you could.
Because you'd have 4-0, you'd have 3-1. Oh, no, you're right, because it'd be a 2-2 situation. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's actually pretty clever, but it doesn't go with history. Not that hockey's ever really – I mean, hockey reveres history, but not like other sports like baseball. Baseball is like – it's so tied up in history, it can't even think of new things. Whereas hockey is always evolving. unlike many other sports, actually.
Yeah, and ironically, a lot of the evolution from it stems from the NHL. And then the IIHF takes some of the rule changes that the NHL makes and makes that worldwide.
Yeah,
NHL, and then it trickles down from the IIHF.
NHL is very proactive in changing things it feels is not working, you know?
Which is why we need to get rid of Gary Bettman, because he's not working. Sorry, I'm still on that rant, man.
So last night we had Vancouver, Wild at Vancouver. It's another Wild loss, 2-1. You know, is power plays over the top. You had Vancouver with a power play goal. You had Wild with a power play goal. Setoguchi gets another goal, his second of the season. Really, there's not a whole lot to be said. The first power play that the Canucks had, it was a really bogus penalty. The penalties were kind of off. I mean, some penalties made sense last night, some didn't. But Bieksa had a one-timer. I mean, the goal, the power play goal, it was a pretty goal, but, you know, not much you can do. It was Kemper's first game. He had a good performance, only gave up 2 goals. Not too shabby for a rookie performance or debut performance. Luongo was really just lights out, and
as always, I mean, he's a pretty solid goalie.
He's pretty solid. I know he struggled when he's the Canucks have played the Wild at the X, and that's why usually the alternate goalies in Vancouver usually get the start. When they're at the X, but Luongo was lights out last night, and it's really, I mean,
they couldn't do anything to get past him.
Yeah, I mean, the only Wild goal they had was a power play goal, and it was just Setoguchi.
Well, and did you see that goal? It went off his backhand to his forehand, and he barely put it up over Luongo's shoulder.
That's not a slam on Setoguchi, though. I mean,
no. That's actually like giving Setoguchi props, and it's not a slam against Luongo either. Because, I mean, Setoguchi literally barely, like, a goalie trying to follow that puck,
right,
is going to be insane.
And Luongo had, you know, basically shut them down all night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he took down backdoor opportunities. He took down open nets. It was insane how well Luongo was playing. He's definitely playing like a guy who is trying to do something with the contract because he knows he's going to get traded.
Maybe. At this point, I mean, there was talk that he's going to get traded, but now he's basically worked his way back into the number one spot. So it's like it's hard to figure out what they're doing, over there.
And what was going on with that game? All the technical difficulties?
Oh, that was really annoying, actually.
That was bad. All of a sudden, it's like you would lose. You wouldn't even get the TV announcer's feed. It's almost like it would switch over to the radio feed.
And I don't even think it was the Minnesota radio feed. I think it might have been a Vancouver radio feed. It was the weirdest thing.
And it happened a lot.
At least 3 times that I noticed.
I know, I think all 3 periods at least?
Yeah, pretty much. It was usually surrounding a break. It wasn't in the middle of play.
One was on a Wild power play.
Yeah, one was in the middle of a play. The other two were coming in and out of periods. It was just really weird.
Were you guys getting the Spanish version of the
the Spanish version from Canada?
It was probably the French Canadian version. But no, it was another loss. Wild, seriously, the last 2 weeks, they haven't scored more than 2 goals in a game. They need to figure out how to score because they're struggling.
Absolutely. All right, Aaron.
I think we had time. We talked about our Minnesota Player of the Week. 2 weeks ago, I should say. The winner was Jive with his pick of Zach Parise.
Woo! Thanks for all your votes, folks.
Losers were myself and the Meat Beast. He had Noura Ratti, and I had Nate Schmidt. We both had a single solitary vote. I think Parise had 5 or 6 votes. So Jive is definitely the winner, meaning he picks last tonight. I would fight with Meat Beast tonight if he were here, but since he's in Bemidji, I'm going to make my pick. And my pick for the week is Devin Setoguchi. He had his first 2 goals of the season, and he's had a couple helpers. I think if this team is going to be successful, Setoguchi has to score, and it's a good way to get back on the board.
Hey, I agree. And if he does start scoring more, I'm going to be just as happy. Happier.
And Kenny?
All right, I've got a pick from Minnesota that we didn't talk about this topic yet. The kid's name is Austin Kraus. He plays for Farmington. Chaska, sorry. Wait, hold on. Is a Chaska Farmington game. He was a goalie. Let's see. He was a goalie for Chaska. No, he was a goalie Farmington. For Farmington. Sorry.
Farmington, yes.
He was a goalie for Farmington. He disgruntled and figured he would make a statement by basically, instead of stopping the goal, grabbing the puck and putting it into his own net and then proceeded to flick off the entire arena. Needless to say, I don't think he's going to be playing much more for these guys. But, you know, sportsmen like no spit vinegar and full of attitude, he gets my thumbs up.
I don't even know. I mean, you figure there's got to be some. I mean, I know there was talk that he was upset because of he got pulled from another game or something like that.
Right. The rumor, according to a Minnesota high school hockey blog, Follow the Puck, which we'll have to check these guys out, was that it was a ill-conceived protest over playing time. Kraus, being a senior, had been warming the bench while a sophomore started in his place.
And I believe it even was like the senior night as well. Like, so he wasn't even being honored in that respect.
Which apparently the last time Chaska and Farmington met, the other goalie had posted a shutout against them. So, it was on senior night that he got benched and the sophomore got the play.
So he was sore over it, but still.
Well, and the only reason that the sophomore was not playing this time was because of an injury. So, yeah.
That this goes down into the history books for just bad sportsmanship. I mean,
well,
I
have to agree. You know, Wisnowski.
I think it's kind of a product of maybe of everybody getting a trophy. You know, he can't take the failures, you know, and you got to learn how to take your bumps and bruises along the way.
You're not always the best person on the field, on the ice, you know.
Yeah, it does kind of suck getting benched on, you know, senior night. Sure. But
you know what? That's life, though. Yep. Not everything goes your way, you know.
And then pretty soon you're at a Old Country Buffet on senior night, and they're inviting you.
All right. So anyways, yeah, Austin Kraus just being full of spit and vinegar. You know, kind of a complete D-bag, honestly. His team did end up coming back and winning, though. Besides, you know, wow. Not because of that.
So maybe he added some fire to him with that, you know?
Yeah.
That was his ulterior motive.
I'm kind of wondering how much itching powder was in his jock strap after that. But, yeah, so Austin Kraus.
All right. So that leaves me for the pick, and I guess my pick for this week, I did pick him a couple weeks ago, but I got to go with him again this week, and that's Josh Harding. Because I don't know, I just really think that it takes a big man to kind of take one for the team, take a step back. He knows he's got some stuff that he's dealing with, and he can't give his 100% all. And I mean, it takes a big man to stand up and do that. I mean, especially when you're in make it to a professional sport. I mean, you're obviously very, very, very competitive, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it took him a lot to come to that and say, I just got to step down. So.
No, that's. I think we're all in agreement on that one. I mean,
absolutely. So let's see. You've got Setoguchi, who finally starts getting goals, so he seems like a hero. You've got a goalie who's just a piece of work, and then you've got another goalie who is doing the stand-up thing. I mean, what's your attitude and stance on life? How are you going to vote?
How come nobody took Backstrom? Crickets.
Where's our exactly. sample for it?
It might be because, you know, that's actually a good point. I mean, he hasn't been bad this last 2 weeks. He really hasn't.
He hasn't been really good. Well, I mean, he's got a couple of shootout wins.
He hasn't been bad at all. He hasn't given up more than 2 goals.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Aside from that Vancouver game.
What can you say when you don't have the support?
Yeah, I mean, well, unfortunately, it means he doesn't have wins. Unfortunately.
So that's our poll for the week. Go ahead and we'll have the poll up on Facebook and vote on it for all of our listeners out there.
Yeah, but, we'll post the results next week when we talk about it next week.
I think so. So, yeah, I think it's about that time to sign off and say goodnight. So,
yeah. As I said, this is Aaron. I'm filling in for the Meat Beast. You can follow me on Twitter at AaronGNP. Additionally, you can send us questions at 3inthebox.com. Send us some questions. We'll be more than happy to answer them on the podcast.
Absolutely. And this is Kenny. You can follow me at RottenK999 on Twitter. Yeah, I think Aaron pretty much summed up what we all need to say.
And this is Jive, your guy pushing the buttons and all that stuff. Just filling in over here, but you can follow me if you really care to at Jive Midnight for Twitter. So, all right, and we'll talk to you later.